Chapter 26. All That Jazz. The assembly that afternoon is solemn, with the whole student body gathered in the shell along with the staff, teachers, and maestros, from the cafeteria workers to Coach Phil. Nobody was spared from the earworm spell. Except, of course, for me. But no one knows that except Jai. Everyone's quiet and still, eyes haunted. There's a heaviness in the air, as if we're sitting at a funeral. The ice spell was viewed as an accident at best, a bad prank at worst, the same as the hallucination spell a month earlier. Or maybe those events were just accepted as the sort of inexplicable things that happen at a school for music craft. But the earworm incident is on a whole other level. The maestros are at a loss to explain it, and only Jai and I know the truth, and probably Darby and Mia if they've put two and two together. The truth turns in me like a snake, till I feel sick with it. "We will be placing stricter curfews on campus until this matter is fully resolved," Mrs. LaRue says from the stage. "The Echo Wood is off limits, and no one is allowed outside after dark. Dinner will be served earlier, so you can all be in your rooms by the time the sun sets."
"Welcome to Mistwick Prison," whispers Jamal in the row behind me.
"Think it's ghosts again?" asks Amari. I feel sudden pressure on the back of my head, as if several dozen pairs of eyes are boring into my skull. If ghosts were involved, they'd know exactly who to blame. Shrinking lower in my seat, I chew on the cuff of my sleeve and watch the head maestro.
"We will get to the bottom of this," she says. "A full investigation is underway, and every one of you will be questioned in the days to come. Until we know the full story, nobody is above suspicion. Not students, not staff, not maestros. Even I will undergo scrutiny."
Surely she can hear my heart pounding, even from across the concert hall. Surely everyone must see the cold sweat on my face. All I want to do is crawl under the seats and hide. But as the assembly is dismissed and everyone files out, no one gives me a second look. Still, I remain glued to my chair. The rest of the arrows in my row scowl as they have to climb around me. It's like I've turned to stone from all the guilt built up inside me. I'm too heavy to move.
"Amelia?"
Darby stops in the aisle next to my seat, but I don't look up at her.
"Amelia, what's going on? You've been avoiding me."
Mia appears right on cue.
"Darby, let's go play a cleansing duet. I feel like I still have dirt under my nails, and the water pressure here just doesn't cut it."
Darby looks torn, and she starts to speak to me again. "Just go, Darby," I whisper. I can't bear to talk to her right now. Even if she has some explanation for betraying me to Mia, I don't want to hear it. It still hurts too much. She stares at me for a few heartbeats, then shrugs.
"Fine, whatever."
They go together, and I'm left alone in the great auditorium. Letting my head fall back, I stare up at the starry music notes on the ceiling. Deep inside, I feel the pulse of the angry, dangerous spell. I can't remember the last time it was really quiet. It's been so constant that I've almost gotten used to it. It reminds me of the old tree behind my house that grew around the axe my grandfather sank into it long before I was born. The blade is permanently buried in its trunk, as much a part of it as its own branches, so only the tip of the handle is still sticking out. Will this music become a permanent part of me? For once, I hear Miss Mott's quiet footsteps before she can sneak up on me. She sits in the chair across the aisle. Saying nothing, she just waits, wrapped in a vibrantly patterned caftan, her gray dreadlocks in a twisty bun studded with music note pins. After a long, silent minute, I lower my head. "I guess it's time for our lesson," I say softly.
"It is indeed that time, Amelia."
Does she know? Can she read the guilt written all over my face? She must. She's acting like she's waiting for a confession. "Okay." I stand up, but she raises a hand to stop me.
"Why don't we do our lesson here today?"
"Oh, sure." She goes onto the stage and sits at the grand piano. Her fingers do a quick dance over the keys, warming up.
I was thinking maybe we'll try something new today. A little bit of cooperative composition for fun, to shake off some of this gloom. What do you say?
She plays an inviting measure, then lifts an eyebrow.
Join me for a little jazz improvisation?
I pull myself out of the seat and slog onto the stage, where I take out my flute. I don't know how.
Sure you do. You're a composer, aren't you? This isn't any different from the way you'd normally compose, except we work together. Play off each other. You see, jazz is about listening and feeling together. Jazz is about trust. Trust.
If she knew how many secrets I was keeping, she wouldn't trust me to even hold a flute, much less compose with her. She plays a bit more of the tune, leaving it unfinished, so that I suppose I can pick up the spell. But I don't. I just stand there with my flute assembled and stare at the floor.
Amelia?
She turns on the bench, tilting her head. Music storms inside me. I press my eyes shut against it. I can't do it, I say. I can't compose anymore. I think I'm broken. Tears run from my eyes. Miss Mott pulls her hands from the keys.
Amelia, what's going on?
I thought I could pretend I was fine and everything would go back to normal, but it hasn't, and it won't. It just gets worse and worse. Like I can't do anything but break things.
My dear.
There is music inside me, Miss Mott. Something deep in my chest cracks open, and the words tumble out. You were right. But it's not good music. It's bad. It's dark and angry, and it scares me. And I can't compose anymore because that music is all I hear, all the time, but especially when I'm angry. That's when it gets loudest. I must sound like a babbling fool. I wait for her to say as much. But she just waits in silence. Her eyes full of empathy, and that only makes me feel worse. Why can't she see how messed up I am?
This is about your daddy, she says. You're still angry at him.
I inhale sharply, about to deny it, to tell her it's none of her business, like I did before. But I can't. I just can't keep pretending. That's just it, though, I say. I'm not just angry at him. Don't you see? I'm the reason my mom died. He blamed me. It's my fault. I told you and Mr. Pinwhistle that I'm not broken, but I am. I am. My dad saw that, and that's why he left me, because of what I did. Don't you get it? It's me I'm angry at. My voice echoes through the concert hall. Getting into Mistwick wasn't just about being like my mom. It was about proving I'm not the messed up loser kid my dad left behind. That I was, am, worth staying for. But look what's happening. Everyone's in danger because of me. He was right. I break things, and I hurt people. He was better off without me, just like Mistwick would be.
Oh, Amelia.
She rises, walks straight to me, and wraps her arms around me in the biggest hug I've had since I left Gran to climb aboard the Mistwick Zeppelin months ago. She holds me tight until I can't stand it anymore. I let go and cry. All the worry and fear and anger that's been storming inside of me pours out through my eyes. I must go on for 10 minutes like that, and all through it, Miss Mott just holds me close. I'm tired of keeping secrets, I say at last, my voice muffled by her shoulder. She pulls back, holding me at arm's length. Her eyes shine with tears, too.
That is the thing about secrets, she says. They tend to get heavier the longer you carry them.
Stepping back, I wrap my arms around myself, my gaze lowering. I didn't mean for things to turn out like this. I really thought I could do it on my own. And then everything started going wrong. Now that I've started confessing, it's like I'm powerless to stop. You'd think she'd played a truth spell over me. I didn't compose the fire dragon spell. At least, not exactly. I played the notes, but they weren't really mine. She nods as if she's suspected as much.
It just wasn't your style, was it?
Why does everyone keep saying that?
It's like they all know my style better than I do. I didn't even know I had a style.
Let me guess, she says. You used an enchanted feather, a spider web, a butterfly's wing.
My head droops. Dandelion puff. Ah, yes, a classic. All those little filaments, perfect for trapping delicate memories. She sighs.
Memory stealing is, alas, not uncommon among composers. It's the pressure, you see, of constantly producing new spells. That's what happens when you let others control your voice. They demand more and more until you're drained dry. And then, in desperation, you turn to less than honest methods.
I look at her curiously. Have you ever?
No, though I have had my chances. You're hardly the first to use one. Unfortunately, it happens more than most composers care to admit, but still, it was wrong. It was worse than musical plagiarism. It was emotional plagiarism. But I won't lecture you about it more, because I can see your conscience has done quite enough of that for you.
I hang my head, my face hot with shame. I'm so sorry. Are you going to tell the headmaestro? Will we be disqualified from the trials?
Well, now, let's not get hasty. I think my sister is a mite occupied with today's events.
Which you don't know anything about, do you? My heart freezes. If I tell her about the earworms, the necromuse, the midnight orchestra, the truth balances on the tip of my tongue, the whole messy story.
Amelia,
she looks at me intently.
Is there something you need to tell me?
I'll tell everyone, Mia had said. Mistwick will be disqualified, and it will be all your fault. More guilt to add to the mountain I already carry. I imagine everyone at school hating me for ruining their chance in the trials, and the maestros, who have already given me every chance in the world, who believed in me when most people would have given up. I can envision their disappointment, their disgust, their realization that I was a mistake. Just the way my dad did. I look out across the auditorium, where the doors have been left open. There are still holes all over the grounds beyond, piles of dirt beside them. The handle of the pitchfork I wrestled away from Jai is sticking out of the lake. I can't do this on my own. I can't stop the necromuse from reaching his hand into Mistwick and doing whatever he wants. Maybe everyone will hate me. Maybe I'll even get expelled. But I can't risk more people getting hurt. Yes, I whisper. I do have something to tell you. Pacing up and down the stage, twisting my flute in my hands, I spill everything. And I do mean everything. I tell her about the portals, the midnight orchestra, Mr. Stewart. I tell her about the memory seed and how I almost left it in the desert, but at the last second changed my mind. I tell her how I used it to compose the fire dragon spell and about the memory I saw when I did. I even tell her about Jai and Darby getting swallowed by the second portal with me, and about Mr. Midnight turning out to be the necromuse. By the time I get to the part where he told me to compose a resurrection spell, that there would be consequences if I didn't, Miss Mott is looking a little seasick. But she doesn't say anything, not a word, not even a sound, until I've reached the part about the earworms and the note from the necromuse on my pillow. After a long, heavy silence, in which Miss Mott doesn't seem to breathe, she finally shifts her weight and looks at me straight on.
All right, Amelia. All right. Let's just step back and take a deep breath.
She presses a hand to her lips, then to her chest, her face scrunching as she thinks. I wait, blinking, for her to tell me it will be okay, that she can fix everything. But she just stares hard at the top of the piano, as if she's arranging a mental jigsaw puzzle.
I'll admit, she says at last, that I was not quite prepared for the full extent of your escapades.
You mean you believe me?
Of course I believe you. Why wouldn't I believe you?
Well, for starters, maybe because for all their talk of wanting to hear the truth, half the time adults won't even believe you when you do tell it. But Miss Mott doesn't ask questions, doesn't even ask for proof.
She trusts that everything I told her is the truth, just like that. It's like a weight I didn't know I was carrying lifts off my shoulders. As for the rest of it, she shakes her head. I suppose I can understand why you didn't tell me or any other adult sooner, or trust us to keep you safe. After all, there was another adult who was supposed to keep you safe a long time ago, and he didn't do that, did he? She thumbs her lip absently, as if talking more to herself. Maybe we're the ones who need to prove to you we're worth trusting. Here she goes again, turning everything inside out. Here I am explaining to her all the ways I've messed up and how many secrets I've kept, and she thinks she's the one who has to prove something to me? So what do we do now? I ask. I'm afraid this is bigger than I am, Amelia. Perhaps bigger than anyone here at Mistwick. But first things first, we need to talk to my sister.